Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Hour number two on this Friday. Darren McFarland, that's me, here on the south side of town, down here in Rutherford County, holding down the fort in Smyrna. Willie Donick over in East Nashville. Chase McCabe out on the west side of town in Bellevue. Marquise Munson back at our Wholesale Link Game Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. We have talked a lot about Dana White and the UFC this week and them attempting to hold UFC 249 next Saturday. I did say, by the way, tomorrow at the end of last hour. I meant next Saturday, April 18th, and it will not take place now. And the man who has been talking with Dana White and covering this story for ESPN is Brett Okamoto, and he is on the line with us. Brett, how you doing?
I'm doing well, man, and don't worry about getting the date wrong. I think it's real hard to keep dates correct these days. You know, I've done it a few times myself.
Well, I get excited just trying to announce something live was going to take place, right? We're just so desperate for something in sports to be live, and we thought maybe we were going to get that. But they have the decision has come down. Dana White talking to you. I know that you've been talking with Dana White and covering this story. So let's just start there, Brett. Why do you think that the decision, because this has been in the works. Dana's been saying this for weeks. Of course, the place was never disclosed, but why do you think this was shut down now?
Yeah, he eventually did disclose it yesterday.
Did he?
You know,
okay.
Officially to me that it was going to be Attache Palace, which is a little bit north of Fresno, California. It's tribal lands. It's an Indian reservation, and the reason that it didn't happen was because the decision was taken away from Dana White. You know, I've been covering Dana White a long time, and even you know people out there who haven't been as close to him as I have, just seeing him from afar, they know that this guy, he doesn't really care what other people think. He doesn't care what other people say. He runs his business as he sees fit. And he does what he thinks is right. And he felt like he could put everything in place to get the athletes there, to have them compete safely and get them back and get them paid, you know, and give people at home something to watch. He was really, really passionate about making it happen, and I could sense his disappointment when I spoke to him yesterday. But, you know, with the state of California, even though it was on a tribal land, with California, you know, saying telling people to stay in their homes, you know, basically a statewide shutdown, you know, the impacts that has on, you know, not only just the UFC's perception, but also its broadcast partner, ESPN. I mean, he said, you know, point blank that, you know, he got calls from ESPN and they asked him to, they said, hey, we appreciate your effort, but we no longer think that this is a good idea. And he said, well, what can I do? They're my partner. So I pulled the plug.
So you mentioned that he did disclose it. I know that was the rumor where you said it was. So I didn't see yesterday that it finally came out there and that's exactly what it was. Why do you think he was so secretive about not disclosing the location?
Well, I think he didn't want a lot of people, you know, putting a lot of attention on where it was going to be. You know, mm-hmm. what I mean by that is, you know, by trying to bombard, you know, Attache Palace, the venue that it was going to be at with phone calls, and it just made things more difficult. I mean, I feel like I have a small understanding of what went into trying to put this together, and I still know, I'm not naive enough to think that I have no idea what it took to put this together. I mean, the amount of hours and the amount of planning and, you know, with everything just changing. I mean, the venue where this fight was going to take place changed multiple times. So I think Dana really got to a point where he was like, I'm not telling anybody anything, just because when people catch wind of something, you know, it puts everything under a microscope, and it's hard enough right now to just get the event and get everything in place. And so if we have, you know, a bunch of media descend upon this area where we're trying to hold a fight, then it actually makes our jobs harder.
Brett, when we've been talking about this story on the show, a little bit of background on me. I did an MMA show, an hour, on terrestrial radio for probably at least a decade in this market. And so I've dealt with Dana White for a long time, too, so I don't have probably the relationship that you do. And it's been a while since I've dealt with Dana. But, you know, when the events would come here, the fight nights would come here, I've dealt with Dana White really from early days when really nobody, hardly very, very few people were even talking to him. And I've painted the picture exactly what you laid out there, as you know. he's a guy that's done it his way, and it's worked. They bought it for $2 million, and, you know, it's worth billions. And so he's done it his way, and certainly, you know, abiding by the rules and doing things the way most people would do it is not the Dana White way. How difficult do you think it was? Because he doesn't like to back off. I mean, if he believes in something and he's passionate about something, he believes it should happen, then he's going to go to the end to make sure that it does until it just can't happen. How tough do you think it was for him to back down? Because he's fought networks, he's fought, you know, politicians and states, and as you know, how hard do you think it was for him to back down to your employer?
You know, I think everything that you said there is absolutely correct, and he does not take a loss well. So under normal circumstances and under the majority of circumstances, it's you don't see Dana White back down. Like it's almost like a trick question, because it's not hard for him to do it because he doesn't do it. I mean, he just puts his head down and fights through whatever anybody is telling him. But another thing that I will say about Dana is that he does have – when he does respect somebody, and when he does – have a loyalty or a business arrangement with them. I mean, obviously, it's not a large group, but I think about, you know, obviously his friend Lorenzo Fertitta and Lorenzo's brother Frank that bought the UFC and put him as president. You know, I think about Ari Emanuel, who you know, runs Endeavor and has represented Dana for a long time, and now I think about, you know, some of the executives at ESPN. I will say that, you know, when I have had conversations with Dana, and it's not like this is a topic that we talk about in depth that frequently, but he really does respect the decision makers and the executives at ESPN. He has a good relationship with them. He feels like they have helped his business, that they know what they're doing. Obviously, ESPN is a terrific brand, and they have a large reach, and the way that they cover sports and the discussions that they have and the topics that they cover, he believes it helps them. You know, he looks at them in that light. So that amount of respect that he has for them helped him, I think, accept that decision of like, hey, Dana, look, we get it. You know, you don't have to sit there and tell us why this fight should go on. We've been with you all the way up to this point, but we as a company just can't stand behind you anymore. And I think the respect that he has for the relationship with ESPN helped, you know, soften that blow a little bit.
Fred Okamoto on the line with us, covers the UFC and mixed martial arts for ESPN. And, Brett, we've seen all these models kind of get leaked and stuff being tossed around, whether how much there's truth to it, how much is really being discussed with all sports leagues, right? They're all trying to figure out whether it's the NBA in Las Vegas, you know, Major League Baseball in the Phoenix area, and we've seen what Vince McMahon and wrestling is doing and some of the things that have been tossed out on the UFC side. You mentioned where this location was going to be. There's this thing about the island. Dana is going to want to, at some, you know, he's not going to sit on his hands for the next 6 months and not have a product. How realistic is it to pull off what he was trying to pull off next Saturday and moving forward? You know, I don't know how privy you are to some of the stuff behind the scenes or how much he's talked about what it takes to actually pull it off in the times that we're in.
Well, if you think about it, you know, what the two main locations that I think are end up going to come into play now over the next, you know, month and beyond, you think about what they are. One of them is this Fight Island that he's referring to, which we kind of laugh about and we make jokes about that. It sounds like something out of a movie, but he's saying that it's 100% legit, that they're actually building an infrastructure on it right now. And I don't disbelieve him. You know, I think that when he says that, I take it for face value. I look at that as a possibility. And the other one I look at is actually not in California. It's in Las Vegas. Because the original plan when all of this started to happen was that the UFC has its headquarters in Vegas. They have a performance institute there that has, you know, a lot of medical necessities. It has, you know, the training facility. And then right across the street is their Apex Center, which is where they hold one of their shows, the Dana White Contender Series, which is actually live fights. It's a warehouse-looking area. The cage is in there. They have all the lighting in there. They have everything they need from, you know, cameras and studios and everything. I mean, he built that building for the sole purpose of being able to hold live events there. And he did it before all of this stuff with the virus was even going on. So if you look at those two different locations, what do they have in common? He has control over them. He has control over his Apex facility in Vegas. He has control over some infrastructure that is being built on an island. And so I think that's what is going to be key in my mind in a sport resuming is how much control can they have? You know, are these athletes going to be in one spot? Are they going to be quarantined? Are they going to be tested? Because if you start to lose control, then you open up to the virus, you know, becoming a factor. So I think the UFC is actually in a pretty good spot in terms of resuming operations before other sports because they have these scenarios where they will have control and they have kind of a half-crazy promoter at the top who really, really wants to do it. So when I was done interviewing Dana yesterday, he said, I'll see you in a month. I think that that's probably an optimistic take, but I also think it's a realistic take because their next pay-per-view is May 9th, and my guess is that they are going to do everything they can to try and put that thing on somewhere.
Brett, with everything you just said about having the control over the facilities, do you think that he's had conversations with Vince McMahon or somebody from WWE of how they've pulled this off, pulled their biggest pay-per-view WrestleMania off, and ideas that he could get from them?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he spoke a couple times about Vince. I don't know if it was during my interview or when we were just kind of chatting briefly off to the side, but, you know, when Donald Trump, the president, had a call with all of the commissioners from all the leagues, you know, it sounded like, you know, Vince was real bullish on, like, hey, let's keep things going, and we know how Dana feels about it, too. So I think that, you know, Vince and Dana sort of had a complicated relationship in the past, but they have worked together on some things, and I think both of them are similar in that they really, really, really want to keep operations going, and they're willing to get creative and explore every avenue. So, yeah, I do believe they've had some conversations.
What are the fighters' response to all of this and everything that's going on? Because some were preparing to have a pay-per-view, to have an event, and some had backed out. What's the overall response that you're getting?
Yeah, in general, the majority, I would say kind of the overwhelming, quite frankly, response that I've gotten is that these guys want to fight. And there's a few factors that go into that. I mean, they don't get paid if they don't fight. So obviously they're thinking about from a financial standpoint, you know, we want to perform and we want to get paid. But there's also the competitive side. I mean, you ask any athlete out there, they all want to play. I mean, that's not just particular to this sport. That's with all of them. I mean, they're good at what they do because they're passionate about what they do. You know, they've made it this far to be a professional athlete because they love it and they're good at it. So, these fighters I've spoken to, you know, some of them have said, man, this is crazy. You know, we're getting on a plane during these times and I'm trying to cut weight and I'm trying to train for a fight, you know, with one or two people around me and I'm running on a treadmill in my basement. This is not how I train for a fight. But overall, yeah, they wanted to keep doing it.
Do you think we eventually, when this is over, we get the Ferguson-Khabib fight?
Oh, man. I mean, that is the most cursed sporting event perhaps ever of all time, you know, let alone mixed martial arts. I mean, it's you don't want to laugh because it's very serious, but,
right.
I mean, Tony Ferguson tripping over a cord in a studio and now a global pandemic? I mean, it's just hard to believe, but you know what? I mean, me personally, I'm not real superstitious. I don't really, I guess, believe in curses. I think it's going to happen. I think we're going to see it this year. I'm optimistic. But, man, I mean, if anybody out there says this thing's never going to happen, I won't argue with you. It's been a crazy, crazy thing.
Brett, keep up the good work. We enjoy watching your work. And thanks for coming on and doing this. We really appreciate it. And we'll talk to you down the road.
Hey, thank you, guys. Be well.
All right, you too. Brett Okamoto covers the sport UFC for ESPN, and we do appreciate him joining us. We will come back and discuss a little bit of what you just heard on the other side. Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. But first, let me tell you about folks at USS. Yeah, I want to talk to you about United Structural Systems, a foundation repair and waterproofing company that has served our area here in Middle Tennessee since 1994. They've got a whole lot of satisfied homeowners, and I'm talking to a lot of homeowners right now that are hearing this. How about more than 18,000 satisfied residential customers? And we've had some rain. We're going to get some more rain this weekend. I think Sunday is 100% chance of rain. And maybe with the recent rain, you've noticed some standing water in a crawl space or maybe some bowing basement walls. There's maybe musty odors or rot in floor joists or condensation on ductwork or cracks in basement floors. Look, all these are signs that your house is telling you something. Like, hey, something's wrong. Need to be fixed. And more times than not, while we may mow the yard or we may paint a room or we can fix some things, these are probably house projects you don't want to tackle. You want to let the experts do that, and they are the experts. And if you need to get the experts out to your house, they're going to give you a free estimate. They're going to assess the situation, give you a free estimate. They're locally owned. They're licensed and insured. And as a homeowner, that should get your attention. 615-227-2275. That's 227-2275 to get the fine folks at USS out to your house to see what's going on. You can always check out and learn anything about them by going to their website, USSTN.com. That's USSTN.com. And as they say, we guarantee our best. Call USS.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.